November will be a busy and exciting month for Wisconsin Public Radio programming and listeners, and we will hear all about it during this edition of Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Mike Crane, is here, as he usually is on the first Monday of the month. And we will welcome your questions and thoughts about Wisconsin Public Radio at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Mike Crane is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and he joins us in the studio. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
How are those wrists and hands? I understand you had some carpal tunnel surgery.
I did about 2 weeks ago, and it's, of course, very personal in the sense that it went well for me so far. I had arthroscopic surgery, and all the digits are working, and some of that buzzing and stuff seems to have left my hands. Everybody asks, well, you know, should you not be typing? What is it? And a lot of what I've learned as I've researched it is that there are so many different things that can be a cause of it that are part of modern life. And I'm blaming bicycling in my case, the pressure of leaning over onto the handlebars over very many years is probably one of the contributors. And I'm not stopping biking, and so I'm very glad to have had what appears to be a successful surgery.
Well, it is good to have you back, and we wish you well with the recovery from that.
It's made my emails shorter, that's for sure.
We noticed that. We've been meaning to talk to you about that. Well, last hour on our State Capitol Report, we had State Government Reporter Sean Johnson with us for a final preview of tomorrow's elections. We will have plenty of coverage here on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yeah, that's right, and have had as well. You know, we have a very longstanding tradition of trying to get the issues and the candidates all on the air as best we can. And now that we have a couple of websites to work with, WPR.org and WisconsinVote.org, we have even some permanence that you can, if you miss something on the air, you can find it online, or you can do some additional research for the things that maybe you didn't catch, and you can decide how you're going to vote. And one of the core reasons that WPR really exists is to help people be good citizens, and so we're pleased to be a part of that.
We will also be following up on Morning Edition on the NPR News and Classical Music Network and here on the Joy Cardine Show. On Wednesday morning from 6 until 9, we will have a wide variety of different guests, political commentators, analysts, advocates reacting to and analyzing the election results. And we'll continue, certainly, in the days to come as to where do we go from here.
That's right. And I was talking generally, but I'll want to mention specifically, too, that on election night, we start our coverage at 7 o'clock p.m., and we'll go until, you know, we're not sure about some of the really tight races, so we might be up pretty late, but we'll be here with you and letting you know what's going on with the election results.
Yeah, I guess starting at 7 p.m. makes some sense, too, because it's midterms around the country, so we'll be hearing some national results as well as Wisconsin results.
Exactly.
Yeah, and Chapter a Day, for those who are fans of Chapter a Day, the repeat in the evenings, and I know many of you are, that will air at midnight instead of 11 o'clock. So we have 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you have a question about programming or operations or special events. And I guess I want to take a call right away. Marty in Douglas County is with us. Hello, Marty.
Hi, good morning, Joy. Welcome back, Mr. Mike.
Hi.
We are just still so heartbroken here in northwestern Wisconsin over the death of our beloved Mike Simonson, our former local WPR news director. And I know I'm not the only one who's worried about who you're going to be hiring to try to replace him. So we're going to hold your feet to the fire, Mike. We will really be unhappy if the new person is not willing to make the same wholehearted commitment to reporting in depth on local issues here, and I emphasize local. Mike had long-standing relationships with a really wide range of people. He was here for 25 years. Mm-hmm. He had relationships with the unions and tribes and students and anybody else who walked around this part of the state. And whoever replaces him will have to hit the ground running. So with all this in mind, I've talked to several people, and we've all come up with Daniel Kading as the new news director for KUWS. I know she was a student of Mike's and worked with him. And parenthetically, I am not Danielle's mom.
I was just going to ask, Marty.
I have never even met Danielle, but we just know her through the work that she has done up here on KUWS, and think she'd be a great replacement.
Well, Marty, let me jump in, because I think Mike has some good interim news for you anyway.
Oh, no. Oh.
Yeah, that's right. If you haven't already, you'll hear Danny's voice very, very soon. She's been on a number of reports already. And the way things work with university hiring, we typically appoint an interim when there's a crucial opening, which this certainly is. And we were just really thrilled that Danny was available. She had been out of town for a while and has come back to town to fill this role in this interim period. And then soon thereafter, we actually have an official posting for the permanent position. And I'm sure that Danny will take very much to heart your interest in having her be the successful applicant for the permanent position as well. And in any case, you know, we do have a great deal of trust in Danny. She was trained by Mike, as you've pointed out, has had a number of other experiences, including working for us in La Crosse for a while. So we already know about her qualities, and we thank you, too, for remembering Mike. You know, I was talking with a board member about their memory of meeting Mike when we had our board meeting in Superior 2 years ago. And how there was just this guy sitting there, very unassuming, just talking to everybody. And he seemed perfectly natural at that. And that really was Mike's character, is that he was incredibly curious, unafraid to talk to anyone, and just a real loss for us. And, you know, I know that, you know, it's in that sense, it was with very mixed feelings that Danny has taken on this interim role, because she's extremely fond of Mike, and they were very close. And so thanks, Marty, for that call. And at least in the interim, I think you can be assured things are in good shape. And that will certainly be the plan for the long run, to have our reporting in that area stay strong.
Happy, Marty?
Yes, pretty much. We all really loved Mike, and there's lots of Danielle cheerleaders. So
that's terrific to hear.
Thanks for your serious consideration.
You bet.
Thank you, Marty, for the call. And I think most listeners probably know by now, but I realized if you just heard that conversation and were not aware, Mike Simonson, a longtime reporter at KUWS for Wisconsin Public Radio, passed away in his sleep earlier last month.
Yep.
And it was a real shock to all of us, and certainly he will be dearly and greatly missed. But Danielle Kading is one of his proteges, and is in that position in the interim.
Yep.
So thanks, Marty, for the call. Well, speaking of news coverage, this is new, and I guess we will be listeners to Wisconsin Public Radio will notice some changes later this month with regard to the news breaks that we hear throughout the hour in Morning Drive and Afternoon Drive. What's going on, Mike?
Yeah, so this is a discussion that's been going on around the country of public radio for a while about changing some of the way things are scheduled, especially in Morning Edition, a little bit in All Things Considered as well, and that does tend to have sort of an echo with how we look at things on the Ideas Network, because we use the newscasts that come from National Public Radio as part of the Ideas Network. And so the story is that, I hate using inside language, but the format of Morning Edition, the clock, if you will, is being changed, and they're going to be an additional news break each hour. Instead of two, there'll be three. And that has sort of an echo throughout the schedule to try to reconfigure things. And so I think the basic idea is that as our use of media has changed since Morning Edition was invented in the early 80s, that it was time for a bit of a shift in how the program is structured. It'll still have lots of things that you expect, the in-depth reports and so on, but it just will have a little bit more of the newscasts as well.
And we are planning on carrying these NPR newscasts
In the Joy Cardine Show.
In the Joy Cardine Show and on Central Time.
Yep.
And if people can think about this, especially in our earlier morning hours. We have a newscast at the top of the hour and then at the bottom of the hour at the 30 mark. That 30 mark newscast
that one goes
away
in the morning, yeah.
And we would have one at about
2 minutes from now, as a matter of fact.
Right. Yeah. I was going to say there's one at right at the very top of the hour. There's one around the 20 mark, and there would be one around the 40 mark of shorter newscasts.
Yeah, just about a minute and a half or so. And so we'll see what people think. You know, that's part of why we have this, too, is you'll let us know what you think. But we're going to give it the old college try, as they say, with this new format, and we'll see how it goes.
What is the thought of this? Is it just more frequent newscasts because people are coming and going throughout the morning or something?
Yeah, I think that's right. That even our own research into our audience suggests that even for an Ideas Network show, that many times people aren't listening through the full hour. And during so-called drive time, the thinking is that people would like to have a little bit of an update in the news. And what NPR has told us is that each of those newscasts will be distinct. It won't be repetitive of the previous newscast. And so that will be one of the challenges that we'll see if that really works the way they're promising.
And Central Time is making a programming change beginning next week. What can we expect there?
Most people, again, won't notice a change because the show will still be on from 3 to 6 p.m., but what we've been doing, and I think it's really ended up just stretching the staff to the limit, is the 5 to 5:30 typically has been live. So it was 2.5 hours of original production. And we're switching to having 5 to 5:30 be a repeat of the 3 to 3:30 time period. And we think that'll help us to really focus our production energy on making an excellent 2 hours. And again, we'll see. This is the model that's used for Morning Edition and All Things Considered and what they refer to in, again, inside language, the rollover. So Morning Edition actually is a 2 hour program that most stations may carry for 5 or 6 hours. And what they do, and this will be the same with Central Time, is they refresh it as needed. But they won't necessarily be live every day.
I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane. Mike is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and he is with us for this November edition of Mondays with Mike. He stops by once a month to share news with you about WPR and to answer your questions and respond to your feedback about what you hear or don't hear on Wisconsin Public Radio, talking about WPR operations and other special events as well. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Coming up, we'll talk about special programming that's coming up for Thanksgiving. And we will also look at the future of the show Q from the CBC, which is carried on Wisconsin Public Radio following some pretty high profile, pretty sensational charges and countercharges going on between the CBC and the host of that show. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is the first Monday of the month, which means it's time for another edition of Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine, along with WPR Director Mike Crane, and we are welcoming your questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Let's go to Jim in Ashland next. Hello, Jim.
Hi. Before I go to my issue, I want to second the nomination of Danielle Keating. And also, according to LinkedIn, today is Danielle's birthday.
Oh, it is. Happy birthday,
happy
Danny.
Happy birthday, Danny.
Boy, we vote for Danny on Mondays with Mike.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
Okay, my issue, though, concerns Morning Edition and the pumped-up coverage of Marketplace, which wipes out some of the previous programming we used to hear, especially Frank DeFord. I had an exchange of emails both with WPR's listener at WPR.org and with NPR, and it sort of amounts to, according to the emails, kind of a WPR saying it was NPR's decision and vice versa from NPR. But apparently NPR has moved Frank to the opposite hour. It's now in the first hour of the feed instead of the second hour. But WPR has covered up both hours with Marketplace. And apparently there is a default feed from NPR that includes Marketplace. But I'm wondering if there's a little too much Marketplace and we could have Frank DeFord and some of the other stuff at least in some of the hours.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Cynically, I am wondering if there are corporate sponsors of Marketplace that might be exerting a little bit of influence on either NPR and or WPR.
Just want to make sure everybody understands what Jim is saying.
Yeah, sure. And Jim, you're right in actually suggesting that the answers seem a little contradictory from NPR and WPR, and I'm sorry about that. So I'll try to clear it up. Basically, Marketplace Morning Report has been available to stations every hour for years, and we've carried it just at the 8:50 time period, coming to the end of the morning edition cycle. And the purpose of that really for us has been just to have something a little fresh as the final hour of morning edition has been wrapping up for the day. And what happened was in the last 6 months or so, NPR made a contract with the producers of Marketplace, which is American Public Media, which I tend to think of as Minnesota Public Radio, but it's more than that. It's a bunch of other productions that they do as well. And stations, American Public Media embraces a station in South Florida and another one in California and so on. So that contract added Marketplace to the regular NPR Morning Edition feed. We used to just get to choose either or, and that was our choice was at 8:50 to carry Marketplace. So now that it is a part of the feed, they did decide to move Frank DeFord to a different hour. And I think the basic reason that NPR did that were two. One is that they've had a really tight budget, including a number of layoffs and buyouts and so on that they did in the last year to get to their a balanced budget by this year. That was one of the important goals they had, was to get back to a balanced budget. And this was an opportunity to connect some programming that most stations are using anyway in that time slot and help them to save a little money as well. And so I think those are the things that are behind that. And I guess the second one that maybe I'll be clearer on that is that many stations were carrying Marketplace anyway, and NPR felt it was more efficient in light of all of those budget issues to make that decision. So that's part one. Part two, and this is the source of the confusion with what Jim was talking about, is that our team that's in charge of the News and Classical Network elected to keep the Marketplace feed that we already had, but also to add the one that NPR was providing. And so that causes us to have Marketplace in each hour. I understand the question that Jim has also raised about whether there was business influence, but there really hasn't been anything like that. We don't have those kind of discussions with businesses. We tell them what's on, and if they're interested in supporting, that's certainly something we really hope will happen, but we didn't have something like a business calling us and saying, I'll stop supporting unless you do that, or anything like that.
Yeah, so we don't hear Frank DeFord then on Morning Edition in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and that may be in the category of unintended consequence. That's something I haven't actually researched, but it's good to have Jim's comment, and we'll
because
talk about
it. We're covering that up with the Marketplace.
That's
okay.
Right.
All right.
So that's the story, and thanks for the feedback, Jim. We'll share that with the team.
Thank you, Jim. Let's go next to Jerry in Menasha. Hi, Jerry.
Hi. We need far more science-based news regarding climate change as an issue of national concern than we're getting through media in general that's taken an anti-scientific bias. The public has to be educated to the very real effects of the life-changing effects of global warming. According to a news source, I understand that the National Public Radio is reducing a staff of 4 full-time journalists dedicated to climate change to 1 part-time journalist. I think it's imperative that National Public Radio pick up the torch to educate the public in the overwhelming evidence of the facts of both climate change and global warming, not cut back on it, because we are not getting the scientific facts out to the public. We must educate the public.
Thank you, Jerry. So NPR is cutting its climate change staff?
Well, you know, there is a campaign that Jerry is referring to that's about that, and I really think it's an oversimplification of what's gone on at NPR. Rather than have just reporters devoted to environment, they've infused environment coverage in a ton of what they're doing. And I think it's because the environment is such big news that it's not only people in the environment desk or a science desk, it's all over the place. You know, there's coverage of droughts and coverage of floods and coverage of fracking and so on, that it really has moved beyond it having only an environment desk. And that, as I understand it from NPR, is the basic story, is that it's infused into more of their coverage than ever. And certainly also an abiding part of the schedule that we have, including Science Friday, which includes climate coverage as part of what it does. And it comes up fairly regularly in our news reports and so on. So thanks for the comment,
Jerry. Yeah, thanks, Jerry, for the call. I'm Joy Cardine, along with Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Mike Crane. Mike stops by once a month to share news with you about WPR and to respond to your feedback or answer any questions you have about Wisconsin Public Radio programming or operations or special events. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Well, big news recently from the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, which we carry a couple of programs that are produced by the CBC, including the program Q, which is an arts and culture program and carried in the evenings on the Ideas Network. Well, the host of Q, Gian Gomeshi, was fired by the CBC, and Gomeshi has filed a lawsuit against the CBC over that firing. I guess we don't need to necessarily go into the details of the firing, but what's going to happen to the show Q? And is this something, Mike, that Wisconsin Public Radio listeners will continue to be hearing?
Our understanding from the CBC is that they'll, starting right away, they've had substitute hosts, and they'll continue with that until such time as they've identified a permanent new host for the program. So unless that turns out to be a real problem, I would expect we'd continue the show. And we'll see. You know, when there's a host change, that can substantially change a program as well. We certainly experience that periodically. And so in that sense, we'll see. But they've let us know that they intend to continue distributing the program to the United States and producing it in Canada.
Let's go next to Carol in Milwaukee. Hello, Carol.
Hello. I would like to talk about my lack of... I feel bad that there's so little news on network TV, like the regular stations. It's getting to be less and less. They don't tell anything about politics. You know the way it is. It's mainly sports or irrelevant stories or things like that. They call that news. And then if you listen to NPR, it's like repeat news. Every half hour you repeat it. It's sort of like you're definitely being brainwashed, because I've heard them repeat the same thing, I think, 3 times within like a minute, 3 times. And it was just a ridiculous, obvious brainwashing, which scares me because...
Carol, can I interrupt you, Carol?
Yes.
What you're describing sounds very odd to me. What do you mean by repeating within a minute?
Well, this was several years ago. Maybe they don't repeat it quite as often now. But, for example, they would say, Walker is running for president, and we expect him to run for president in, you know, a week. And then within, literally, I counted it, literally, three times they would repeat that. Walker is running for president, and Walker is running for president. Well, if you didn't get it the first time, you would definitely get it by the third time. And
well, they wouldn't have said that several years ago because that talk is just happening.
Yeah.
But
I get the basic idea, although I suspect that there may be a technical issue of some kind because, Carol, do you happen to have an HD radio?
No, it was a normal
radio. NPR. Okay.
I don't listen to their news since then because I recognize it's brainwashing and they do repeat everything quite often. And everything I've heard, everything I do hear, I've already knew it to be a fact.
Yeah. And Carol, I don't mean to interrupt, but in terms of repeating news, is that something NPR will do with this clock change or, for that matter, Wisconsin Public Radio?
Yeah. So there are a few different kinds of repeats that occur. One is that just the very fact that you're having a newscast every 20 minutes, for instance, will mean that sometimes a news item will get repeated. One of the challenges that you face in doing frequent newscasts is trying to make sure that everyone is fresh. And so, you might if you have to use the same story because it truly is the top story and should be talked about a lot, you might need to rephrase as you're talking about it the next time to try to keep it fresh. But one of the challenges is that, the way I think of this is radio is a linear meeting, meaning a medium. It happens in time. And so if you're reading something and you've already read it, you can just go past it. But if you have an audio source or a television source for that matter, that's going by at the time, the way to not notice the repeats would be to tune out, but you might be afraid to tune out because there might be something fresh that comes along after that. And that is a challenge. So I'm not sure about the specifics that Carol's talking about, but it may be that it's related to the fact that, the very next newscast might have very similar news in it.
Yeah. Thanks, Carol. David on Facebook writes, considering your home base is on the UW campus and that you have so many people on the air who are tied to the education and public employee communities, does that color your programming, especially when it comes to politics or Governor Walker? What steps have you taken to see that it doesn't?
Yeah, I'd say there's a couple of ways of thinking that we consider being a part of the university to be an incredible resource, and so in that sense, it does relate to our programming in that we want to have all kinds of different experts on about various topics. That's probably especially true when I think of Larry Mueller's show in the late morning that we often have a UW professor on, that kind of thing. And not only UW professors, but experts from all over. So that's probably part one of it. Part two is that we put in place a lot of things that relate to trying to make sure that our coverage is truly fair. One of the examples that sort of, I'd say it's based in the very relationship that we have with the university. There's a plaque on Bascom Hall in the UW campus that is the statement that was made by the Board of Regents in the late 1800s about academic freedom. And it talks about the sifting and winnowing by which we discover the truth. And we really believe that journalistic integrity comes from that. And so we're in a really good place to be a part of the university because it means that we're charged with helping people to sift and winnow. And that's the process of the Ideas Network, for instance, is to present information and help people decide for themselves what they think about it. And additional measures include a very strong ethics component to the work that we do. Everyone that is employed here is required to indicate that they have read and understand the ethics requirements that we have. And then because we know people click yes for such things, we also have an ongoing ethics conversation every quarter in our staff meetings. In fact, the November staff meeting is, I believe, the one where we'll do this next. We bring up ethics cases and discuss them with the entire staff as a way of making sure that such things are really present in our mind. So those are some answers to that.
Thanks, David, for that question. Ray in Cottage Grove is with us now. Hello, Ray.
Good morning.
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 I have a comment about the Sunday late afternoon programming. It seems to go to mostly classical music, and I would like to see, rather than that, perhaps repeat programs from during the week, because there is an option for people that want to listen to classical music to go to this classical side of NPR. Is there a reason that there's no... Is there a reason that's what the WPR does on Sundays?
I just want to understand that you're saying on the Ideas Network station, this station that you're listening to right now, Ray, you hear classical music on Sunday afternoons?
The Wisconsin Public Radio does.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So WERN, and probably in your case, right?
But that's not what he's listening to right now.
Right. Yeah, I think, Ray, you're talking about the classical music that's on WERN at 88.7 in your area. Is that right?
That's the option that people that want to listen to that can do.
Right.
I would rather listen to talk repeats during the week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm thinking, and that's what I was afraid. I thought there would be some confusion here because we do not on the Ideas Network on the WHA or the other Ideas Network stations in the Madison area carry classical music on Sunday afternoons. So you do have that option, but I think maybe you're thinking of Simply Folk, which is folk music late Sunday afternoon on both networks. Would that be possible, Ray?
That could be what it is.
Yeah. You know, the question of options is a really challenging one for us because anyone who's looked at the coverage map for WPR knows that our stations have different coverage. Some are very small stations, some very large ones, and so we do carry a couple of programs on both networks, and Simply Folk is one of those. And the challenge would be, given that there are fans listening on each of the channels in any given place, would be to choose, if we were to change it, which one would we drop? And so, honestly, we haven't figured that out because we don't want anyone to lose something as special and unique as that. And one of the cases that we do that's like that is that, generally speaking, Higher Ground with Jonathan Overby is on the News and Classical Network. But because we don't have a News and Classical station in Milwaukee, we also carry it on WHAD in the evenings because we want to be sure that this production reaches as many people as we can in the state. So that's the kind of general picture there.
Ray, thanks very much for the call. I'm Joy Cardine along with Mike Crane. Mike is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and he is here to hear what you have to say about all things public radio. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We have lots of news still to share before we're done today, including some specials coming up for Thanksgiving. And hey, someone's going to Alaska with me in June of 2015. We'll announce the winner of the drawing for a WPR adventure that we were holding during the pledge drive. That and more coming up here on the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, and this is the November edition of Mondays with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we will get to more of your phone calls at 1-800-642-1234 in just a moment. But first, Mike, we have lots of Thanksgiving-related specials coming up later in the month. What are some of the highlights?
Well, we always love to bring out the Turkey Confidential with Splendid Table. That's a lot of fun. Also, in the last year or two, we picked up America's Test Kitchen, and they have a special for Thanksgiving as well. So that's from 10 to noon, those two programs will be on. And then we also have another tradition from 1 to 3 p.m. We have the Third Coast Audio Festival, which celebrates the best audio stories produced worldwide for radio and the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of special programming. We hope you'll be with us as you're preparing the turkey or stuffing or you've come in from your family football game or whatever it is that you're doing on that special day.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get some tips. but also some special music on the NPR News and Classical Music Network.
That's right. On our News and Classical Network, we'll have the annual Wisconsin School Music Association highlights of their concerts during morning classics from 10 till noon. It's outstanding high school ensembles from around the state, and that's also a Thanksgiving tradition for us.
Yeah, we also have, in terms of special programming, a Wisconsin Life's special series that begins today called Wisconsin in the First World War.
Yeah, it's the 100th anniversary of the start of the war, and so we have a series exploring how Wisconsinites experienced it at home and abroad. Stories about Bob La Follette and anti-German hysteria, which would have been a very big deal, of course, in a state that even had governments operating in German into the 20th century, and letters from a nurse, a chaplain, a soldier, and that's heard on Morning Edition and also on Central Time here on the Ideas Network.
That reminds me, how is the Wisconsin Public Radio Project to put a face for every name of the those we lost during the Vietnam War on the war memorial wall? How is that going?
Yeah, we're part of a much larger project that's going on nationwide. Apparently, years ago, there was a loss of a military records facility that included all kinds of stuff, including the photos of the people that served in the war. And that's gone. And so we've been looking to find a photo for every name that is on the Vietnam wall. And in the case of Wisconsin, the number that we're using is the number 1244. So that's the number of names from Wisconsin that are on the wall. And we are now at the point where more than 1,000 photos have been found,
Excellent.
Which is really exciting. We started with, I think, a need to find 600 or 700 of them. So a lot of them have been found. We still have some time to figure this out, of course, because until you get to that final number, you keep trying. And we really are pleased that we have new partners in the Wisconsin Newspaper Association.
Good.
They are helping us out with their own effort to find a face for every name. And so you should see stuff about that in many newspapers, and you'll hear a new round of announcements that I recorded with specific names we're looking for and so on. So we encourage you to go to WPR.org/veterans. Veterans, as someone reminded me that I should say it. Apparently both are in the dictionary, but in either case, go to that WPR.org/veterans.
Yes, and Veterans Day, of course, is coming up in November.
Good reason for us to renew the promotion. That's
yes.
right.
Well, I am so happy to know that the winner of the WPR trip that we were promoting during our pledge drive, anybody who pledged or any sustaining member was entered into a drawing for the choice of three trips that Wisconsin Public Radio hosts are going on. And we have a winner. Mike, who's going to Alaska?
Leota from Washington Island is the winner, and she's going with you.
I'm so happy. Yes, she. I understand that she's 85 years old, and she has never won anything in her life. So what a wonderful, this is going to be a trip of a lifetime for her and for all of us. So
yeah.
I'm very happy that Leona is choosing to come to Alaska with us. Now, this trip to Alaska is in June of 2015, and it's one of several that Wisconsin Public Radio is a part of. Mike, this is, these are
yeah, we call them fundraisers and friendraisers.
Yes.
So, a typical trip, there'll be a contribution made from the vendor that does the trip, and that helps to pay the bills at WPR. And then we also are making friends, we hope long-standing relationships, and we look forward to doing that as well.
Yeah, so I think if you go to WPR.org/travel, if I'm not mistaken.
You can learn
mistaken.
About upcoming trips.
Yeah,
that's
lots
right.
of trips coming up. And again, congratulations, Leona. Looking forward to traveling with you and anybody else who wants to come to Alaska with us. Jim in Minneapolis is with us now. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Joy and Mike.
Hi.
Hiya. I'm just crushed. I didn't win that trip. I was looking for that. Actually, I'm just calling today because I just want to congratulate you and thank you for the great program you guys do. We're, as you know, we live in Minneapolis, and although we do have a summer home in Park Falls area, and we got hooked on Wisconsin Public Radio, and we just can't get unhooked. And we're fortunate here that we have really a particularly good Minnesota Public Radio as well, but we tune into Joy every day. We are hooked on your Saturday morning programs are incredible. And we curl up by the fire and listen to Dr. Zorba and all of that. It's just great. And I just wanted to say that.
I'm so happy,
Jim. You've done an outstanding job.
Thank you so much for calling. And I'm so happy to kind of steal someone away from Minnesota Public Radio.
Yeah. They as Jim knows, they're terrific, too. And folks on the west coast of Wisconsin, as I sometimes call it, really have some wonderful options, being able to listen to Minnesota and Wisconsin public radio stations. And so we're glad we've got a share of your ears, Jim. Thanks so much.
Thanks again, Jim, for the call. Yeah, it reminds me, I saw on Facebook, I can't remember what listener asked, but he didn't like our weekend programs. Mm. I mean, it's sort of, you know, some people, you can't please all the people all the time, I guess. You
it's
know, I mean, I
just, it's the problem of a mass medium. You know, we send out our programs to everybody that might like to listen to them. And sometimes it's even just, it's the wrong time for me to hear some sort of program. And so we do our best and we count the results, you know, 50,000 members and 450,000 weekly listeners, that kind of thing. So that's pretty good. You know, I think we always believe we can do better, and so we're always trying. But you do so in an environment where any change you make is going to affect a bunch of people's listening habits.
Right. And the reason I brought that up is that he was wondering. I think he was a fan of more news and talk information and didn't think he was getting quite enough of that on the weekend. And he thought, isn't there a college radio station that you could repeat their news and public affairs programming? Is that, I mean, do college radio stations do enough news and public affairs programming or talk shows that we could use those on Wisconsin Public Radio?
Well, it sure depends. You know, I'm very fond of college radio stations because that's how I got my start in radio. And WHRW in Binghamton, New York, 90.5 FM, as we would joke. We had an extensive call-in talk show thing. You know, every night there was we called it a public affairs program, and we had all kinds of different topics and so on. Other stations are very focused on music, so maybe don't have that. I certainly encourage people to find and listen to their college stations wherever they have them, because you'll hear mostly, you know, young people, but sometimes volunteers from the community who aren't so young, or people that are students later in life that just love radio. And you'll hear a lot of really creative stuff, music you wouldn't hear elsewhere, breadth of opinions. And there are some really strong stations in Minnesota and in Wisconsin that are student stations.
I loved my student station, too. I hosted a show called Two-Way Radio on WWSP in Stevens Point, which was my first call-in show that I ever did. Of course, I think I told the story that not very many college students called in, but it's all right. It was fun. Ben in Green Bay, maybe our Facebook commenter was thinking we could use some younger voices on the air, and maybe Ben does, too. Hi, Ben.
Yeah, hi. That's a perfect transition. I want to congratulate Leona. Winning the trip, but I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum. I've been a sustaining member ever since I was 19.
All right.
And in that time, I've definitely overdrafted my bank account, but I always found ways to make that $5 contribution to WPR.
Thank you, Ben.
And I was wondering if you guys had any intent on maybe developing, like, specific, you know, millennial or youth programming, or if there is already. I would like to be made aware of that. Thank you.
Well, thanks. We certainly have discussed some of the things that we see happening in public radio, like you'll hear some reports on Morning Edition or All Things Considered from either the Radio Rookies or different groups like that. And those are big time and money commitments to really do an extensive show working on production with young people. We've had occasional sorts of things that have happened here when there's been someone interested in working with us for a day or something like that. But nothing is as intentional as Radio Rookies or Youth Radio. So that's certainly worth our consideration. The other thing that is happening, and I think this is just the natural evolution of things, is that more and more of our producers are millennials, including a number that work on this show. And I think that probably does influence our choice of topics at times. It certainly makes what we know about broader. And I think that that's very valuable. And thanks for the suggestion, Ben.
Thank you very much, Ben. Yes, we certainly try to incorporate talk shows and issues and topics that millennials would be interested in the talk show, but we're not 100%, I guess, devoted there. Let's go next to Joy in Madison. Hello, Joy.
Good morning.
Morning.
I was a little concerned when I heard this morning you were saying that you were going to start the election coverage at 7 p.m. when the polls are still open until 8. And I hope you're not going to be covering any Wisconsin results or turnout or whatever while people can still go and vote.
Oh, we would certainly not be saying this is the result until we have actual results. And in my experience, Joy, if anything, it tends to be hours later that it takes a while for the results to accumulate. But probably during that first hour, we'll be featuring more about what's happened on the East Coast, that sort of thing, and covering some of the national races. But we'll have stuff about the local things as well. Turnout, I think, is interesting just as to what's happening. But as far as any statistics, it'll take us a while to get there.
Right. There won't be any results, and no one's going to be saying this race is in the bag for so-and-so before 8 o'clock. There's not going to be anything like that.
I think all of the news networks have gotten more reluctant on that point because no one wants the Dewey defeats Truman kind of result that happened many years ago. That said, I think one of the most interesting things to think about as you head into an election is how predictive will the polls be? And that's what we'll get to discover in the next 24 to 48 hours.
Very briefly, I'm going to clarify that the Thanksgiving specials, America's Test Kitchen and Splendid Table, will be on from 9 until 11 in the morning. We will not be covering up Larry Mueller at 11 o'clock. The Larry Mueller show will also be heard on Thanksgiving. So I guess there was a little confusion over that. So the America's Test Kitchen and Splendid Table is on from 9
wrong.
Until 11.
Thanks.
And we have just a minute or so to go. There is a special old-time radio drama special, Supernatural, coming up.
Yeah, this weekend. I'm really looking forward to it. There was also a little VIP event ahead of time in Old Radio Hall that I think it sold out at this point, but I'm looking forward to that as well. And this is a couple of plays that are going to be performed live, and our friends the Cat Trio are going to be around for it. And we love that sort of the way I've often said it when I've been at these events is we are co-creating radio with our audience, and I really enjoy it. So there's still tickets available for the live show, I'm pretty sure. Check it out at wpr.org/tickets.
And very briefly, Norman Gilliland is taking the midday on the road.
Yeah, he's going to have a live broadcast from the UW Stevens Point Noel Fine Arts Center, and that's going to be November 18th at noon.
All right, sounds good. So, Mike, we have 30 seconds to go. We have another end-of-the-year pledge drive coming up in early December.
That's right.
Yeah. But so, you will be on Mondays with Mike the first Monday of the month in December, or no?
Well, we'll figure that out. We have a schedule conflict there, but we'll work it out.
We will have some sort of program coming up sometime in early December.
And it'll probably be with someone named Mike.
That's right. Could be Mike Arnold.
Yes.
All right. Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, thanks very much for being here. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.